Acts chapter 2 this morning. I just really feel that strongly because, you know, God has redeemed me and in my life through from a lot of things. And so it's letting go of the past. That verse, "I'm no longer a slave of fear," is found in Romans chapter 8. It's actually my life verse. And God is in the business of redeeming our families. From generation to generation, it should be getting better. That's the gospel message, that Jesus came to reverse the curse so that we might be used as His instruments of peace. And I know there are things that have happened to many of us, and sad things, and people that we looked up to in our lives that should have carried the line but didn't, that let us down, that should have been spiritual but were not. None of that matters because we know as humans we're all frail sinners. But we look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We look to Jesus, who is the perfect one, who is the one that will not let us down. And as we're probably not going to get through this whole message today, but I just, these words of Acts chapter 2 burn in our heart. This is our church mission. And if we have to spend the month on that, we will. But this is our church mission of what we're called to do and be as members of the body of Jesus Christ. And I want to read again. And if you notice on the front of your bulletins, there are five different categories there: knowing Jesus Christ, experience. And those are just different ways of putting these five things that are listed in what the early church did in response to being filled with the Spirit. So Acts 2, 42 to 47. "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day," notice it doesn't say weekly, "attending temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." When we become a day by day church instead of a weekly church, then maybe we'll start to see day by day the Lord adding to our numbers daily. And we're going to talk about in a moment what that is all about and unpack that. But as we come to this passage, Peter just preaches the greatest message, and it says that on top of the 120 that were gathering in the upper room, there was 3,000 souls that were saved. Now, if you could imagine what would happen if we were out declaring the gospel and 3,000 souls were saved, would you be ready to do the work of discipleship? You know, you had the 12 apostles, and then you had 7 deacons appointed in the early church of the 3,120 members. And they knew who they were. They knew their numbers. And as we saw earlier, as we talked about last week, baptism was the outward sign that I had become a member of God's church, that I'm with them. Because it says they gathered together daily in the temple, and they gathered in the court of the Gentiles, which I had read earlier that could hold 300,000 people in that little area, packed in that area. So it makes sense with a crowd of 3,000 that's where they would go. And as apart from all the other people outside of the church that were just going to the Jewish synagogue that missed out on Jesus the Messiah, they identified with that group through baptism. And so I want to talk today about what church membership is, because I think there's a lot of confusion in our world today, because I think we live in such an individualistic society and we want to do Jesus our way. And we want to have church how we want to have it, and we want it crafted how we want it to be crafted. But as we read through this text and it talks about they had everything in common, in other words, they participated or they enjoyed God together as a group. They functioned as a cohesive, Holy Spirit-filled ministry team. And I want to talk about church membership. First of all, and this is what I hear most people say, and they're right, is that, well, I'm a member of God's church because I'm born again or I believe in Jesus Christ. So when we're born again, we're baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ and we become members of God's invisible church. That's the church worldwide that we cannot see. It doesn't include just us seated here. It's churches everywhere that are filled with believers and unbelievers, but the believers are the ones that are God's true invisible church. We gain entrance into God's invisible church by being born again of the Spirit of God. And the word church means called out ones. In other words, being born again is the spiritual sign for God and humans of becoming a member of God's spiritual an invisible church. In other words, they're true believers in Jesus Christ. Now, if it stopped right there, as far as our understanding of membership in the church, what happened in these preceding verses would look quite different. Peter was out preaching, 3,000 souls got saved, and they just said, well, I'm just going to go commune with God and nature at home this week. No, what does it say they did? They immediately got baptized and they joined with. They joined with the fellow believers. And then it says in verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And we're going to get into that. So there's the spiritual part, but there's the physical part that we could see. After someone is born again, they get baptized in water and make a commitment or a covenant by joining a local, visible church body. So baptism and joining a local church is the visible sign, not for God, because we already know we're part, God already knows we're part of His church, His invisible church. But the visible, physical sign for us of being a part of God's church, becoming a member of God's church, of saying, yes, I'm with them, and I'm going to fulfill my mission with them, is by being baptized. And so they knew numbers. And you got to chapter 4, the church grew in great numbers. They still knew the numbers. You get in further in the book of Acts, it says a lot of, and they had a number of people that got saved from the Sanhedrin and that were Jewish teachers. They knew exactly who they were because they joined with, and it says they met together with on a daily basis. Now, I know it's popular today, and I think that's just simply because people don't want to be accountable to God's word, and there's a lack of reverence for God's holy word today. It's kind of like I'll read it how I want to read it, and if it convicts me, I'll skip over that verse. And I'll do church how I want to do it. So when they came together, the reason why they had such great impact as growth is because not only do they understand spiritual membership, they understood the physical aspect of church membership. Now think about this. Back then, how many different kinds of churches were there as far as denominations go? There was only one. And as the church grew and expanded on all parts of the earth, what happened? Now we have First Baptist and Second Baptist and the Baptist that stands on their heads and the Baptist that sits in the pew and the Baptist. And we have 100 different versions of what that is. And so now, not only that, we have religion that's entered in. So we don't really know what is a real Christian church and what is just religion, right? So everybody goes, and how many were baptized in this church? One? Two? How many were baptized when they came to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior? Wow, look at that. So how do we know that these people here are true believers and followers of Jesus Christ? We don't until we hear their testimony. So as a church body, we put together what's called a constitution and bylaws, and we agreed as a church community, this is how we know who's a part of us. And so we instituted what's called a church membership or church covenant, where we go through the class on what salvation is, because we don't know what everybody's heard at all these other churches. We make sure everybody knows the gospel of Jesus Christ, that they've been baptized, and that they understand, and they give their testimony. Now, I'll raise your hand if you've been in the membership class or baptism class. They all had to go through the work of putting together their testimony and understanding what it means to be saved. So this is how we know. Since you weren't baptized here, and there's so many different churches today, this is why church membership is important. So why is it important? And I believe there's seven reasons. The first one being so that the spiritual leaders or the elders, pastors, know who they are responsible to shepherd. Hebrews 13 says, and 1 Peter talks about how the shepherd gives account to God for your souls. Now, I don't think you want to be right here, and I really don't want to be right here. And all the elders don't really want to be, because we are going to be held accountable to God for your souls. So if you have a battle or a sin in your life, and we just say, oh, we'd rather have another number in the pew because we don't want to lose money in the offering, we're just going to kind of let that slide, we're going to have to answer to God for that. That's not caring for somebody for real. Caring for somebody is saying, hey, look, brother, sister, this is, let us help you through this in your life. If you keep going down this path, it's going to destroy you. So church membership is important because we are covenanting together to say, these are our leaders, and I'm giving them the permission to speak spiritually into my life. Number two, these are just practical outflows of what's happening here. So each member knows who they are accountable to and who to hold accountable. So if someone walks in new to this church service and we don't know them, it's not really our business to go up to them. Has your thoughts been pure this week? Have you been walking in the ways of the Lord and all that? Well, that's going to turn them away faster. But well, those of us that have taken the step of baptism and we become church members, we know that they publicly declared, I follow Jesus, and I am going to do my best to live and serve God with all of my heart, and I'm inviting all of you to be a part of that. And I'm going to be a part of your spiritual growth. So we know. We give each other permission to do that. And that's why they didn't just wander off, and they didn't even just stay in the ecstasy of Pentecost either, is they joined together to worship God. Number three, so that each member takes responsibility to serve the body of Christ and carry out their ministries. Number four, so that church discipline and spiritual growth can be clearly carried out by the whole church in a loving and effective manner. What happens if someone is caught in a sin? And let's just say, for just the ease of understanding today, that someone is a perpetual gossip. And they come in church and they just pull, so, you know those kind, they pull you in, and pretty soon, before you know it, you're gossiping too. And they continue it. They keep doing it. They keep doing it over and over again. And so then we follow the biblical pattern of going to them and saying, hey, this has to stop. You know, let us help you through. Go to this Watch Your Mouth Bible study that V's doing and that sort of thing. And then they still gossip. They refuse to do it. Then what church discipline is if they are members of the church, they've given the church permission to exercise spiritual discipline, which is saying, hey, if you don't go to this counseling or meet with this small group or whatever, we're going to have to ask you to not be a part of these things anymore. You're no longer a member. So you're no longer a part. You don't have a say when we come and meet together and decide what mission God's called us to go to. But what is the big flaw today that we struggle with that with? Well, everybody gets hurt, but then they will leave and go to the church down the road, and because the churches are, oh, I'm so glad that we have another number and we have months more people to put money in the offering plate. We'll take you right in and it's okay. But back then when the church was one, that person was either forced to totally walk away from God or to repent. And more often than not, in fact, I don't know of a case in the Bible, well, maybe there is a few, but very few where people did not repent and turn back to God. So now we've saved a soul from hell because of unity in the church body. So you see, church discipline can't be carried out by a pastor or by an elder. It has to be by the church. And so how can we give each other permission if we haven't covenanted together in saying, I invite you to be a part of my life? You know, we'll be accountable to God as a church body one day if another church disciplines somebody and we don't even try to figure out what's going on in their life and try to help them. We just say, oh, you're good at singing, let's make you a director of the choir. And that's what happens. Because it's usually somebody that has a problem and they refuse to repent, but they have this great talent. And so they'll go and search around for a church that will put them in the position they want without having to deal with that issue in their life. So this membership thing is so important. How about this? Number five, so that all members know who is on their team when difficulty or persecution comes. I need to know if you're going to turn on me and turn me in to get my head chopped off. I mean, it's just as practical and simple as that. That's why being close in relationship to one another is that the church body, they had to guard each other's dignity. I mean, they were being accused of all kinds of things during that time. They were being accused of sacrificing babies because they would adopt all the orphan babies that people would throw out on the streets. They had to protect one another and the glory and the kingdom of God. I need to know, are you on Jesus' team or aren't you? And by instituting, having you share your testimony, we might at least know that you might be saved and you're a part of the body of Christ. Six, so there's unity. Everyone has a common agenda to build God's kingdom in the specific way, in the specific place that we're called to and planted. There's many churches, but why did God call you here? We do certain ministries in certain ways, and we have our worship in a certain way. Why did God bring you to this church? Because it's God's wisdom is displayed throughout all these other churches, but there's unity because you're planted here for a specific reason. To do ministry through this specific church body. And decisions can be held and carried out in prayer. Last of all, so that the whole church lives out their kingdom agenda together at all times rather than just on Sunday. So if I am just an attender, I might come just to Sunday morning meeting, or I might kind of come and go as I please. If I'm a member, I feel responsible to carry out the mission of God on a daily basis with my brothers and sisters. God's called us to go to the veterans home, or maybe God is using you in your neighborhood and you say, wait a minute, I want some of my brothers and sisters to come and let's set up a picnic in our neighborhood and let's reach out to the neighborhood. You're more likely to be involved in people's lives rather than just appearing and then disappearing. It's relationship based. It's living life together based, as we're going to see as we go to get into that. So those are just practical outflows of what is happening here in Acts. But now let's look at how they carried it out. In verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. And I want to draw attention to that word devoted. And there are several nuances, or in other words, different facets of that word devoted, proskatero. Number one, church membership is a priority. Notice what they did in the text. They committed to constantly attend meetings and participate with the body of Christ. Their schedule revolves around God's kingdom agenda rather than fitting it in their own agenda. Now, do you know what I'm talking about here is when he uses and defines that word, it says to be earnest, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend assiduously. And it says that they met together every single day. Now, I remember at a time when I was a kid, we were gathering with the believers on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday. That was the traditional way. Well, nowadays, people have said, well, that's way too much, so let's just have a Sunday meeting. Oh, wait, there's a fourth one. There was Sunday school, too. And so nowadays, it's reduced down to maybe a third of the church, or it's a gracious thing of God that it's most of our church that comes on Wednesday. But most churches, it's full on Sunday, but then there's 10 people on Wednesday. So what is going on here? It says that the early church were spirit-filled because they were devoted to the purpose in the kingdom of God. They knew something had changed when Jesus died and buried and rose again and he promised to come back. They devoted themselves to make it a priority above their own agenda. So think about this. And I talk about these things funnily, but because there's many ways and many times that I have had this kind of thinking. You know, it's sort of like, I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this, and then to put the icing on the cake, I'm going to go to church. But they thought the opposite way. They said, we only have a short life. Jesus is coming back soon. This is our main focus and goal is to preach the gospel through the church body. And so let's put all of our other schedule around that. So it's bringing Jesus into our work, into our activity, versus bringing our activities into Jesus. The second aspect of this is church membership is a way of life. I know this is not very easy for me to preach, and I also know it's not very easy for me to hear. If it's not easy for me to hear, it's not easy for you to hear. But Jesus said to his disciples, unless you give up everything, you cannot be my disciples. I want to challenge you to think and pray, what does that look like for me now today in this area that God has called me to minister in? How is that going to change the flow of my life and how I minister to the people in the workplaces? And yes, we all have to work. We all have to go to school. We all have to be involved in society. We should never pull out and just kind of say, okay, this is our holy huddle. That's not the purpose of this. The purpose of this is I had a bad day and I need to meet with the brothers and sisters so that we could pray and we've been strengthened so I can get right back out there in the field. It's like being in a football game and things start going bad and the coach does a timeout. And they pull off the football field. And usually gives them a pep talk. How many like pep talks? That's what we're supposed to be doing. Through our teaching of the Word of God is a not only a pep talk, but it's growing us and changing us so that we can get back out there and be influential in the areas of our life. But we can't do that unless we become relationally involved in one another. And I'm going to say this boldly and loudly. You probably will never overcome spiritual problems in your life and grow spiritually unless you get connected in relationship with believers in the church. Let me say that loudly and proudly and clearly again. You probably will have struggles in your life and hold back in your spiritual walk, have things from your past gripping you until you start to open up and develop relationships with the body of Christ and commit together to spiritual growth. This is why church has become so unhealthy in general in our American culture, is that we don't understand the word devoted and the fact that this is my life. It says the other definition of this word, part of this word, is to associate closely and continuous with, to stay close. It's living life together. When I'm struggling at witnessing at work to somebody, or when you might be struggling to witness to somebody at your workplace. So, yeah, my workplace is not just here. I have neighbors too. And I go to the grocery store too. And I go to the gas station too. But sometimes I struggle to witness. I need you. You need me. Bob goes to the prisons. It's not always easy. He could probably tell you that's not always easy. He needs us. He needs our prayers. He needs our support. He needs our cookies. We need each other. Devoted is a way of life. You're saying, well, Pastor Mike, you're saying sell everything and let's all get a piece of the 75 acres on Cow Creek. Let's just live together all the time. No, I think God would rather have us spread out a little bit. Because there's more neighbors to be reached. But that doesn't mean I can't live my life with you all. Doesn't mean that you can't be a part of my daily life. We have a thing called text. We have a thing called a phone. We have a car that can drive and meet somebody for lunch. Say, oh, I better meet for lunch and get filled up and let's talk about Jesus. And then I go back into work. They did that. They met in the temple every single day, and then they met for meals in their homes every day because they knew the importance of the building up of the body so that they can go back out there. Number three, church membership is not only a priority, a way of life, but it's a commitment. And they are faithful to stick together to build God's kingdom no matter how difficult it is. They don't give up when it gets tough. It means to continue to do something with intense effort with the possible implication of, despite difficulty, to vote oneself to keep on, to persist in. There's something to be said about true members being committed to their church family and their church body. Well, Greg this morning looked at me funny. I'm going to go find another church to pastor. We laugh, but we're like that. We're tempted to be like that. I think of my home church that I grew up in that taught me what it meant to have a healthy church leadership and a church body. I'm just sharing real here with you. But they had a great pastor, and that pastor, it came time where he moved on. And instead of them getting discouraged and saying, I don't know, we don't have a pastor, what are we going to do now? Those elders kept right on a preaching, and the church kept right on a growing. And in fact, it grew probably more during that time period. Then they called a pastor, and that pastor had some struggles and some battles in his life, and he had to step down. They kept right on a going. They didn't get mad at each other. They didn't get upset at each other. They didn't say, because the pastor failed, we have to fail too. It is a sticking to it. Instead of throwing in the towel, it says to continue to do something with intense effort. What does intense mean? Think about that. Continue to do something with intense effort with the possible implication of, despite difficulty. I'm going to cover one thing, and then we're going to jump into this again next week, because I think that's so much for us to process today. And I hope it's not been dry. I try not to, but this is vital. To understand what devoted means is vital for the community of God. We can go on like the rest of the American church as things are, status quo, but I hope that you're starting with the filling of the Holy Spirit and the worship times that we have. There's a reason why God's sending that. Not that we can stay in that ecstasy, but that we can be His missionaries and share the gospel and see souls saved and life set free. Yeah, do you want to see that? I don't want to just add people from other churches that get disgruntled and unhappy because they didn't get their way in this church. I don't want those kind of people. Although they might need healing and we need to minister to them. But here's what we should be on mission for. We should be on mission for reaching people that have never been saved or they've been caught in religion and they don't know what it means to be born again. That's who God wants to send us out to. And so it brings us to this next part, and I'm going to just go through point one, but these are our five purposes. So you say, okay, I get what it means to be devoted. It means to be, have it priority, it's a way of life, and it's a commitment. But now what should I devote myself to? The number one thing that he mentions there, he says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now think about this for a moment. The apostles were with Jesus. And Jesus said, guys, the Holy Spirit's going to bring to your remembrance what I said to you. That's Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. And then you have the apostles writing Acts and all the epistles that give the theological concept of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John. That's the apostles' teachings. Now, in the early church, they didn't have the New Testament yet. But they had the preaching of those 12 apostles, the eyewitness, which is written down for us today. And furthermore, they already knew, being Jews, the Old Testament. So they knew this from cover to cover. And then they wrote it down for us. So imagine being a priority, a way of life, and a commitment, the Word of God. It includes personal Bible study, formal teaching in the church meetings and home care groups and Sunday school. And one of the marks of a truly Spirit-filled, born-again Christian is that you have a desire for the Word of God and teaching for the Word of, from the Word of God. It's really discouraging today when you talk to a lot of people and I made it through the sermon this morning. Worship time was good and I felt pretty good. But very few people are engaged with the truth of the Word of God and the Scriptures. That's a mark of a true believer, is that I got to get more. Pastor Mike preached this sermon today. It's like when John got saved, he took it home and read it all. And then if he had questions, he called Keith. He would talk to me. And then he would share it with people on Wednesday night. And he still does. So his fire hasn't gone out yet. That should be all of us. I didn't quite understand what Pastor Mike said. Call him. Even better yet, start studying. Because truly born-again Christians are studiers of the Word. They love the Word of God, and it becomes the central part of their lives. This is one building block number one of a healthy church, of what true church members are devoted to. Do you love the Word of God? Do you love to get teaching? And I'll admit, there's some weeks that, as a human vessel, it's dry. That's just the way it's going to be. Either I'm not fully submitted or you're not fully submitted to the Holy Spirit. But nevertheless, there's still truth being proclaimed. And I was told once when I was young, even if the guy is the most dry, then the Lord said, then go down to the wilderness but I'll tell you what, if the Word of God is being read, it should be exciting. Because the focus is not on the person bringing it, but it's upon the message it's being brought. Now, I'm not making excuses for me not being prepared or not being full of the Spirit, or even you not being full of the Holy Spirit to respond to the Word of God. But the truth is, this stands alone in and of itself as truth. Those that are Spirit-filled and born again love it. If you want to know what a born-again person looks like that loves the Bible, read Psalms 119, what David's. I mean, you would think he was writing a romance novel. Oh, how I love your law that's sweeter than honey to my lips. Have you ever just wanted to eat your Bible physically because the spiritual excitement of it? That's what we're talking about here. Oh, how I love the Word of God. So I want to ask you today as we've looked through this, and we're going to go through some more things next week. We've gone through what church membership is spiritually and physically. We've talked about a plea of why it's so important that we join together. And then we began to talk about what that word devoted means. And I want to encourage you this week, this is your assignment on the first page of your notes, 1, 2, and 3. What does it look like for me right now to be devoted to God and His church? Not so that we have greater numbers in all of our church meetings. It's not even the point. But so that the kingdom of God is expanded. So that Jesus Christ, we become kingdom families with a kingdom agenda, with a kingdom mission. So that's your challenge this week. Say, you know what? I'm going to start getting in the Word, and I'm going to start getting all the teaching I can get. Not just on Sunday and Wednesday, home groups, getting together with other brothers and sisters, my devotion, whatever it is, counseling, discipleship, one-on-one mentoring from people in the church. Mentoring someone. But I'm going to find out what it means to be devoted. So, who wants to see God move like He moved in the book of Acts? Who wants it? Who really wants it? Now here's another entirely different question. Who is willing to follow the pattern to get there? Do what God's called us to do. I kind of half-hearted put my hand up. It's up one day and it's down the other day, but that's why we meet this morning, because you, if it's halfway up, you help me get it all the way up. That's why we talk to each other during the week, and we meet on Wednesday and have dinner together and talk, because if your sail is up, you're going to help get my sail up, or I'm going to help somebody else get their sail up. That's how they did it. They were unified with the Holy Spirit. You want to be set free? Want others to be set free? Here it is. I long for the day when we see this happen again in America. Right here in West Virginia, in the prisons, in our homes. God, help us do it. All I can do is pray. Father, I just thank You so much for Your Word today. And Lord, I admit, as a weak human vessel, I've fluctuated back and forth on what it means to be devoted. I've even watered down some of these commitments, even in some past preaching. So, Lord, we're here today, and we've come face to face with what this Spirit-filled early church did. And we ask that You'd show us how it applies to each and every one of our lives. What this intense attendance, this intense relationship with one another looks like. God, we want to see Your kingdom come and Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We desire Your kingdom agenda. And so, Lord, would You please, in the way that You only know how to do, in the gentleness of Your Spirit, convict us to the core of our beings and softly lead us patiently to the truth. Lord, I pray that You give us gentleness and grace and peace with one another as we help each other, as we get to know one another. And Lord, it's my prayer for this church body, Christ Community Church, that whenever persecution comes or difficult times come, time of hurt or times when brothers and sisters let us down, that You'd help us to keep that devotion to you. We're devoted to you. We can be devoted to one another. So, Lord, I pray that you give that intensity to our hearts. Give us those holy goals to do for you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen.